Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we will be discussing Fandango by Carol Britton Chambers. Cheers to starting the conversation.
All right, this is a new piece. It was published in 2025, so brand new. This is pretty challenging. It's a publisher grade 3.5. It's about three and a half or four minutes long. It's really fast. It's in the key of A flat or F minor. It has split flute parts, three clarinet parts, a split alto part, three trumpet parts, a split horn and trombone part that is different from the euphonium part, and a slew of percussion. You really need a six or seven, I said it, percussionists to pull all of this off. This is a really fun Spanish, Fandango tells you it's a dance, but challenging.
Yes, and also it goes back and forth between 3-4 and 4-4 a ton during this piece. So it's a good challenging. It's not on the Texas PML currently, so it'd be a fun challenge for like fall concerts with a high school band. Or maybe
spring concert
for a
any
really,
band.
Really
yeah.
good, you know, middle school band or a high school band for sure. A region band, this would be super fun to do with as well. So it's in the key of A flat. So obviously the key signature causes issues just to begin with. And then as Laura mentioned, like all of the different split parts, a lot of times the parts are written to do like a major second next to each other as well. So, or a minor second, it kind of just depends on where you are, but it's a little bit challenging with just knowing all the different like partials and chord structures and everything. So you got to make sure you have a band that can pretty much read.
And I swear every other note or every note has a style marking on it.
Yeah.
So she's incredibly intentional about what she wants the music to sound like. So, you know, obviously as we're teaching it, we owe the integrity of that, you know, to the music. Be very, very intentional about
yes.
that.
Yes. So it starts out, it's marked con energica, energia.
With energy.
Yeah, I know, but how do we say that word?
Energía.
Energía. That's right.
That was terrible. Don't judge my Spanish accent.
Yeah. So like it's marked 176. So it goes really, really fast. It starts out at the beginning with upper woodwind melody and some saxophone. 1, 2, and 3, and 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, and 3, and 1, 2, 3. So you get to teach the kids about how in 3-4, one is the big beat. Beat ones don't always have accents. A lot of times they do, but then they'll go to staccatos. 1, tongue slur, 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 staccato, staccato, staccato. So it's supposed to sound like different dance steps, I would imagine.
Yeah, and the challenge of coming out of that slur really fast and articulating the downbeat, 1, 2, and 3, and tongue, 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 1, 2, and 3, and tongue, tongue, tongue. Those eighth notes are slurred. The clarity of that has to be super, super clear,
yep.
Which of course, as you're learning it slower, you're not going to learn it at 176
yeah.
BPM.
Right.
You can be real particular about that.
Yep. And then the brass have hits usually on 1, sometimes on 1-2. So it's just, you got to be really careful about counting so that you don't play during a rest. Then it switches quickly to 4-4 in measure 7. And it goes on with some percussion.
Bongos. And this is really, really important. Bongos, hi-hat, all of this in this little section are really important to be super crisp, really clear, very accurate rhythms throughout.
Yep. Then there's a fun bass line that starts up at measure 8 with obviously tuba and low reeds. 1, 4, 1, 4, 1. And it kind of keeps going. So that's fun because, you know, it's just very much a bass line that you would normally hear. The trumpets have the melody alone at measure 8, but again, they are in split parts. 2 and 3 are together and only split on certain chord notes. The students have like more of a lyrical type playing here, not as many staccatos, but still, like Laura mentioned, lots of specific accents that they need to put into their melody to make sure that it kind of comes out of the mix.
A lot of dotted half notes in this with the trumpet melody. So one, four and one, two, three, four, one. Lots of dotted half notes through here. And the tendency is going to be to let those decay. Obviously, we want those to almost feel like there's a little mini or micro crescendo at the end of those, so we get that forward momentum and movement there. Then the upper woodwinds and horns and altos come in with a little counter melody about four measures into the trumpet feature.
Yep. The xylophone comes in as well, a measure later to kind of join them and kind of give a little bit more of that timbre. And then the trumpet melody is continuing on. It goes up. The trumpet, first trumpet part is pretty high on this piece, so we didn't mention that at the beginning, but it is about to get up to like a high G above the staff. At one point, it goes up to a high B flat.
Clarinets are reading really high and C. above the staff range.
So the range is a little bit higher. You just have to make sure you can play it with control. So going into 16, now the melody, it goes to the upper woodwinds. They have the same thing the trumpets had before. And now the trumpets are kind of in the background with these little conversational hits, and it's the same as the trombone and tenor sax part. And then same obvious thing as what Laura said, you don't want the kids to decay on dotted half notes. All the accents, like there's a rhythm in measure 18 that goes one, two, and four and one, it's one, two, and so everybody in the band has the accents on those beats minus the bass line. So it's just good to kind of line up that style and make sure that that really pops out, when the students are playing it.
This is a classic, example of a piece where I think a melody sheet would be a super helpful tool, a rehearsal tool, because almost everybody at some point is going to have that one, four and one, two, three, four, one, two, and four and one. They're going to have that.
Yep.
So writing that out in a melody sheet and getting the style exactly like you want it, unison with everybody, will make the process of, you know,
learning,
applying it to the music easier. And same with the 3-4 melody, one, two, and three, and one, two, three. And then there's another little melody that comes in too. But you can write all of those out and teach those as a melody sheet to your whole ensemble.
Yep.
Same with these little accompaniment lines as well.
Yeah. And then everybody's learning how to count too. So at 23, we're leading into 24. That's where we go back to 3-4. Now the low people have the melody, one, two, three, one, and one. And then now the upper people, one, two, three, one, and one. So it's like a cute little back and forth.
They're going to want to slow that down.
Right.
They're going to want to slow those upbeats down. So just being super precise, and there's not like there's time going on in the percussion.
Yeah, no. Nope.
In this
they're
section.
Playing
so
what the winds are
yeah,
playing.
That it, I mean, it has to be locked in completely.
Yep. At 30, everybody has a forte piano, and then percussion has a little bit of stuff underneath, and we're leading into 32, which is where we go back into 4-4. And this transition is kind of tricky because we just came out of 3-4 with not a lot of pulse and stuff going on. And then you go into a rest at the beginning of 32 in the melody.
So this starts with the upper woodwinds in the melody. And again, no percussion helping out with pulse, just colors, but rest, two and three, and one, three, four, rest, two and three, and two, three, four. I counted the wrong rhythm there, but it's the rhythm is a little complicated. And once again, there's a style marking on every single solitary note that's articulated.
Yep.
So you gotta be particular with it. Then the brass, it's just the upper woodwinds that have that. It's only four measures. So I mean, once they get it, you know, it just has to be really clean and really clear. Everybody else is just playing 4-1.
A cute little vibra slap moment and stuff like that. Little castanets coming up.
Some mallet, so little interjections. Yeah.
Yeah. And then at 37, we're back into that's kind of like a little transitional moment.
Yes.
Now the low reeds have that part from before, one and four, one and four, and horn and sax have melody alone. And it's obvious you gotta have really good French horns because they're
exposed.
All by themselves, right? It's not written high or anything. It goes up to an upper E flat, upper F. at one point in the horn. So not a huge deal, but just something that you want to make it sound really flowy.
That's right.
Just like the trumpet melody from before.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Even though it's not quite as many slurs as what the trumpets had in their line before, it is definitely intended to be a little more legato.
And it certainly does not have any staccatos and accents and stuff. So yes, this is going to be a little bit more fun. There's like a little timpani and triangle moment. There's some, like I said, some cool castanets. It's very percussion, but it's like little interjections. So it's not like percussion's playing a pulse the whole time.
The whole time, that's right.
It's just like little cute, you know, ooh, check me out. One, two, and four, and one. Like it's just very randomly put in there.
Right here at measure 41, the clarinets come in and join the alto, trumpet, and horn with the melody. And then flute, oboe, and some of our percussion add a clapping part. Now, I know sometimes clapping may scare people away from doing a piece. I certainly don't think it should be anything that scares you or shies you away from doing a piece, but you absolutely have to make sure you practice it.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, it's written again. It's written accented. It's
accented
a certain rhythm
claps,
with
yeah.
Yes, and it's meant to be visual. Like she's very clear.
You gotta put your hands up. Head high. Yeah,
we want this to look the same. It's meant to be not only aural but visual as well. So you have to work on it.
Yep. So this melody continues on. We have another little interlude from the timpani and the triangle, which is really cute. And then we're building up to 45, which is where most of the band comes in. The hand clappers kind of stop and get their instruments ready. Everybody else has one and four.
Four and one.
And four, three, one. And I'm like, ooh, gosh, that would be kind of difficult because they really have to count those ties like really, really well.
And then right here coming out of it, it flips the rhythm. Instead of that dotted quarter eighth, that hemiola feel that we're getting, now it flips. It's an eighth dotted quarter. So you come out of that little line with one, three, and one, three, one, which feels weird.
Yeah,
it feels
this is
weird.
Definitely a rhythmic challenge. You'd have to work on that a ton. But this part at least does have a snare drum
pulse
underneath it. Yeah. The flutes and the upper clarinet get to have like a little counter melody here. Or actually, no, this is the melody with the trumpets and the trombones. And then lots of accents happening here. We're kind of building it up again. And then now we're going to be in this little cool soloistic section at 53.
So it has a trumpet one solo. There's time being kept from the bass line and some hand clapping in the percussion. And then like there'll be these interjections of claves. Now the trumpet or the solo is written for trumpet, but it is cued in alto and flute. So you can choose to move it wherever you would like. But obviously it is designed for trumpet. Your trumpet player needs to have a really pretty sound. I mean, they're holding at one point, they're holding a C for 12 beats, a top or third space C for 12 beats. They need to be able to make a really pretty sound and they need to have vibrato. This is 100% a vibrato section for the solo. The solo is not technically hard at all, but they need to sound like $1 million.
Yeah, agreed. And then two measures later, the trombone one has a solo. And again, it's cued also in euphonium and tenor sax and bassoon. So you could choose to do somebody else if you want. But it's just like a little back and forth solo between them for the next 10-ish measures. So it's got the long trumpet solo, the long trombone solo, just some little small hand claps, and the bass line. That's it. So it's like very exposed here. The trombone keeps going. So does the trumpet. They're building up to measure 61. No, sorry, 59. And then they're getting a little bit softer. Oh, it's depending on which part it is.
Right.
I see. And then now the oboe and the clarinets are going to come in at the very end of their decrescendo.
And xylophone, which adds a nice color here.
Yep. And then we're basically just trying to do a transition back into the 3/4 time. And it's like supposed to be really quiet, like it's fading away, and there's barely anybody
playing. All the
winds
are fading, but then suspended cymbal is crescendoing. So they are helping get you across that bar line and back to the one, two, and three, and one, two, three.
It's just like the beginning again. including going straight into 4/4 time about four measures later. So at 72, we're back to the trumpet melody with sax this time. Everybody else has just got the bass line or a little counter melody. We do introduce a new little counter melody at 76 in the flute and oboe and clarinet. It's real cute.
It's all the parts that we did before. Oh, they had that before. Now we're putting it, now we're layering it all together, right? So like the bass line, that trumpet melody, that tricky four measure transition.
Oh, that is that part. Yes, yeah.
That we had. So now all of that is layering together here.
Yep. And we're building up to 80, and 80 is a big moment. Now the upper people are having the melody again.
And this, the upper woodwinds right here, like you are going to have to take some of this down an octave. Your altos are above the staff. Your flutes are on high E flats and Ds. You've got your oboes are above the staff. Your first clarinet is above the staff here. It can be really shrill if that is not balanced correctly.
Yeah, the first note in the first clarinet is a second ledger line C. So yes, that's an octave above normal range. So yeah, for sure.
And the second and third clarinets are doubling what's happening in the trumpet.
Right.
So like,
so
it's
you might
a completely
just
different
one kid play that
exactly.
Or something.
Yeah.
And then we go back into 3/4 time at 84. It's what we had before. Same style markings are super important. Percussion's kind of doing the same thing. Then we have the full band has a 2D rhythm. 1, 2, 3, 92. And now we're in 4/4 time again.
This is really a low brass moment, I think. You know, low brass, low reed moment for just four bars. They get to kind of...
Trombone, euphonium get to have the cool part. Yes. The bass line is still happening, though, in like Barry, sax, and tuba. And then we build up and add in the mid voices like horn, trumpet, oboe.
Clarinet.
And then we build up again and add in the flute part coming into 100 and the trumpet one part. So this is at 100 where the trumpet is playing above the staff G and A
and
B flat.
Yep.
So it gets really high here. And of course, it's the end of the piece. So you got to make sure your brass players can handle it.
They've
you
got
know,
gas
make
in
it.
The tank.
Yeah.
A cool timpani moment at 101. The whole ensemble is 1 and 4, 4 and 1. And timpani gets a
2, 3, and 4, and 1.
Like a cool little solo in there. So cool percussion and timpani moment.
Yep. Lots of accents happening again with all the hemiola rhythms. And then we've got just some straight up chords here. 1, 3, 1, 2, and like we had, or sorry, 1, 3, and like we had before. 1, 4, then we're back into 3, 4, and it's just like the beginning. 1, 2, and 3, and 1, 2, 3.
And some of those chords, some of those big like half note chord hits, don't be afraid to rewrite those as needed for your ensemble to make it sound, you know, balanced like it needs to. And, you know, the right number of parts covered, all that. Don't be afraid to rescore that if you need to.
Yep. 1/12 is the ending. We're still just in this 3/4 time. Kind of ends with the upper people doing a cute little 1, 2, 3, 1, and 1 off. And everybody just ends with that last part and a little bit of fun percussion thrown
and
in there with
timpani.
And down. Yeah. That's kind of what it feels like. So it's very cute. I mean, it's got a lot of great teaching opportunities.
Lots of style. It's challenging.
Yeah.
But kids will love it.
Oh, yeah.
The melody is
so
catchy.
Fun.
It's fun. There's a lot thematically that you could do with it or programmatically if you wanted to add, you know, whatever.
And if you were considering doing some sort of like Spanish march for UIL, this would be a great one to do in the fall so that you've already kind of exposed your kids to some of that style stuff. Yeah, absolutely. So much fun. Well, we hope you will consider programming Fandango in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.